Okay. Without any further introduction, we had that little free talk there. All you had to do is never mess the hymn books up, and we wouldn't have had that talk. Okay. So here's, take notes on this, because the general question, I don't have specific ones on this. We need to get, believe it or not, I want to get through this, okay? But don't waste it. Don't waste this. So take some notes on this and be ready to talk after this section, okay? I guess I got to get to it. All right, be ready. Here it comes. Yeah, we skipped all that. Here we go. Where is
it? A little bit of a change of direction. Okay. Ben, you can start, help us understand, connect these dots for us, how, a little bit more on what Caleb was saying, revivalism and how it leads to these things, this lack of holiness, this thing like the sexual abuse crisis that we're talking about. You just spell that out again.
Yeah, so what is the dividing
line
between...
Some of the ill fruit of revivalism.
What is the dividing line between the church and the world? What's baptism and Lord's Supper? Like, those are the things that mark off the church and the world. And if we just let anybody into this baptismal waters without asking them the question, have you counted the cost of following Jesus?
Local football team, excited. Hey, let's go to church. They're doing spontaneous baptisms. Let's all get baptized today. So we all get baptized, and then we're gone.
Yeah.
And the local church is part of that.
Yeah.
And the local church sees it as something good.
Yeah. And so if you kind of lower that bar, what you've done is given them a passport basically to get into all the other churches. And so I personally convinced, I've not read the whole list and all the names, but I assume those 700 names of those abusers, I assume they were probably baptized. I assume they made a profession of faith or a member of a church somewhere. Someone gave them that affirmation of, yes, we see this in you. And we can't get it right every time. We don't know. The Lord alone knows who are his.
So go ahead. So is the point an overemphasis
on... Well, just so I can do some basic teaching here. Yeah. So many of these people are here for the first time. If you've got a Presbyterian friend who makes fun of you for your view of baptism, saying that you think you can see perfectly who's regenerate or not, you know, and we Presbyterians are godly and humble, and we're just going to baptize all the children of believers as heirs of the covenant, you know, from Colossians and the parallel with circumcision, and you're nothing but prideful thinking you can do this, you're over-purifying the church with your idea of believer baptism as if you can see who's elect and not, I think you respond, we're not doing that anymore at baptism than you are at the Lord's Supper. You intend to only have believers coming to the Lord's table. We do the same thing with the baptismal pool. We have no more certainty that everybody we baptize is truly regenerate than you do that everybody comes to the Lord's Supper is truly regenerate. But we try to use all reasonable means to try to make sure that someone is born again before they come to the Lord's table or before they are baptized. Free little education there.
So is it fair to say that an emphasis on speed and numbers in the name of evangelism and conversions can mislead you to downplaying other important elements, ingredients on what a healthy church is in its membership, its discipline, its accountability, such that you are creating seedbeds of hypocrisy, nominalism, sin? That's what we're warning of, correct?
Yeah. Unbiblical methods will produce unbiblical results. And so I just think that's something we need to be careful of and evaluate. Am I actually applying these commands in Scripture that Jesus tells me to do rightly? Am I submitting to his instructions?
Mark, it occurs to me you've often said in the past, evangelism is a doorway. It can be a doorway to theological liberalism. But it can also be a doorway to just lots of immoral activity and a lack of an accountability. Fair to say?
Writing my final notes. I hope you are as well. Because my point is, and for those of you who just came out of the membership class, the guy on the left is Jonathan Lehman. Okay? My point is, if you don't know people, then how do you get to know people? As we work our way back to that final question before we move on, when I get out of this video, I'm going to ask you one more question. Why did we spend 8 years on Future Grace? When you're done making wisecracks at me, I want you to understand, and it's okay. I deserve it. Wasn't looking for that. Okay? I want us to, part of it is to realize we are making snap judgments on these people based on our presuppositions. You don't know them. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know why they said what they said. And that's why we have to go back and listen and think, what are their, not just are they right or wrong, but what are the assumptions they're making in these statements? What are their assumptions? Okay? So, here, go ahead. Just open it up first and don't have to tie into Lord's Supper, baptism. Most of it's there. What were your general thoughts here as you listen? Just this is the open dump, and then we'll tighten it up a little bit. Go, Ann. Go ahead. Yeah. Takes away meaning. Okay, so I've been hearing in this inflation time, not only are prices going up and shrinkflation, right? My black jelly beans are in a smaller bag. They came in a 2-pound bag at Walmart, and I was able to get that for half price. Now they're coming in a 7-ounce bag. I'm sure that was 8. I want the bags from last year. I want the bags. There's no black jelly beans left in this world. Okay? See, I just divided this group right in half by the things that matter. Okay? Okay. See, so I've been hearing, I finally, years ago, all right, I was given a trampoline. Finally, the mat broke. I had to research and study because that mat was amazing. It lasted forever. Okay? You found all the best mats, and then you found a premium version of that mat. Well, then I started seeing that online. The way, other than shrinkflation and just costs going up, they're offering a lower version of the name thing, and what they called normal before, they're calling premium. Premium. All right? Well, follow this into what Ann's saying. If everybody can do anything they want to be able to call themselves a Christian, okay, then you start having to be defined by your adjectives, right? I'm a, yeah, true Christian, Bible-believing Christian, born again, you know, and this is where you made fun of the groups. You know, I'm an independent, I'm a Baptist, I'm a everybody will ask you that. We say, I follow Jesus. They'll go, which kind? Okay? And fine, don't make fun of them. Don't give them a snide remark. You're dumb. You're dumb. You say, I'm the real Christian. That's dumb. That's dumb. You need to back up and think, if they ask that, you're looking for what their frame of reference is. Because if you want to open it up to get into their soul, if you want to close it off, you make a snide remark. And they'll just like kind of chuckle and whatever and usually go away. If you want to open it up, you say, well, what do these terms do for you? What do you think of when you hear these terms? What do you think of where you were going with that? So they're definitely saying, if anyone can be baptized, it takes away meaning, value, okay? Okay? And that's why, you know, you're sick of apps at stores. Well, I am. I'm sick of the little cards they give you for the grocery stores. I can't carry them all around on my key card, okay? But with everybody is a valued member, right? The phone companies are doing that too. We treat everybody the same, not the new members. You know, whatever. You call it more and more money for all of us. Okay? When everybody's special, nobody's special. What else? Wait, Jonathan, go. Yeah, I don't know where these mics are. There. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it really strikes me how much this is pulling these things to the church, or these belong in the church. It's not just I am doing it before God and focusing on your individual relationship, but they are things that belong with the people who are identified with the church or to the church by the church. And yeah.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that point, okay? They are assuming that baptism and the Lord's Supper are the church's prerogative. The church. They happen inside the church. They are assuming that. Now, we're gonna unpack that, okay? And you go, well, whether you agree with that in a soft way, a loud way, or disagree with that, okay, then there's assumptions that lead to us coming up with those values. The point isn't they're always right, or I'm always right, or you're always wrong, or you're always right. We have to look at the worldview that has allowed this drift to happen. See, you know, people have said for years, I think the Clemson football coach, you know, makes loud professions of faith, okay? But I think he has done and been a part of what he just described there. I think some on his team were getting baptized there as a Clemson football team. They were doing it there as just a football team, I believe, all right? That needs to be checked. And if I'm wrong, forgive me, all right? But that's the concerns we have. And why I roll my eyes when everybody says, oh, so and such a coach is a Christian. Somebody is. But we're looking for not only whether they're genuine in their profession. That puts all the weight on you to be genuine, right? That's really rough. Because if you think I'm genuine, now you go, he's a fake. You hear the flip side of this? You hear the flip side? When, like what Ann was saying, if everybody gets in, now we're concerned about, what were the words he used? Hypocrisy. Nominalism. See, hypocrisy is the opposite of genuine. You say, well, they look really, really sincere. Okay, but now I have to continue to look really sincere. Do you think I'm sincere? Do you think I'm sincere? She thinks I'm sincere, therefore she's right. See, you follow the trail then of the people that affirm your genuineness. He's genuine. You and I can be well-meaning, all right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're not going to find any hope inside yourself. No, I really trust Christ. Why is it amazing that so many people that trust Christ now are wondering if their faith is real? If it was really trusting in Christ, you wouldn't, I'm sorry, be navel-gazing so much. You say, well, if it's not real, shouldn't it be real? Yes, but the answer will come with Christ, not back at yourself. Okay? So eventually we'll work our way to should they be in the church or not. That was the assumptions. What else did you hear? Just say that. Just say it. Say it. Yeah, no, you put all the
okay,
caveats.
Did I cover myself there? Okay. How would you address and biblically think or balance the scriptural record of the early church, Philip with the eunuch, the Ethiopian? Like, there was a lot of, and I'm missing pieces.
Keep
of
talking.
I'm missing pieces of church history, church background, mm-hmm. what the church looked like back then. But we have a whole rest of the New Testament written for correcting problems that were happening, and perhaps because of this, so in our day and age, what's the proper way to think through the initial response to the Lord, the initial baptism, mm-hmm. versus how much do we have to evaluate in a long-term way before? Like, I get the gatekeeping. I get why it's there. But with, like, adding 3,000 in the church in one day,
with
like, Paul, you know, calling some of the ones that were very, that had a lot of bad theology, still calling them brothers,
right,
and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. what's the proper way for us today to think through that, mm-hmm. in light of what they're saying, that we don't get off on the wrong side of getting too critical, mm-hmm. or harshly critical,
right.
wrongly critical,
right.
with the whole concept?
All right. That we do need to go there, all right? That's the second step. The first step is I want you to collect what they're saying. He's saying, how do we not get harshly critical? All right, here's how it plays out, okay? And this is tied to that 8 year of future grace. I'm going to say it, and you're not going to like it. I think most of us have not been held accountable for any of our Christian faith, all right, in American Christianity. Because usually all the talk of the church has wounded me, okay, the pastor I used to trust, now I don't. Okay? All right? There's an imbalance. And you go, the abuse is real. Yes. Because the chicken or the egg, where did we get our pastors from? If we're right that we are looking for pastors being a better us, we have focused on the external rather than the internal, okay? And if you do that, in Galatians 5, it makes very clear, okay? The youth group is still working their way through this, all right? Fruit of the Spirit, the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit is the works of the flesh. If you do not have the Spirit changing your heart, the implication is if you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? That affects your works, right? Did you hear what he said? If we do not get baptism and the Lord's Supper right, okay? We're not just concerned about nominalism. That means in name only. You say a Christian, I say I'm a Christian, but somebody's not. Depart from me, I never knew you, all right? And hypocrisy, and that's, liberalism. Liberalism, meaning you're sloppy with, is the Bible the Word of God? And it usually shows up, today it's showing up in the gender thing, that homosexuality, you're judging, God made them that way. You know, when you go, no, then you're saying there's a standard that goes beyond the culture, right? That is a problem. He said that we're also going to end up with immoral behavior. 2 Peter that we're going through on Wednesday nights is making that clear. Good luck finding direct reference to what the false teachers are teaching. All that we see in 2 Peter is the results of their immoral actions, and they're freeing others up to be immoral. You have to think, and that's why you hear me make wisecracks. Everybody's going to argue forever and saying, Christians should wear this, they shouldn't wear that. You know, where we judge on the outside. I say, good, we're all naked. And you say, no, stop. Don't put that image in my head. Okay? All right? And then you go, well, then what should we wear? I don't know, but they're wrong. Well, somehow we need to figure out what to do with saying what's appropriate. Well, now we can forget about what we should wear. It's who we are now. It becomes a construct that I determine who I am. And I'm going to read that for Men's Fellowship next month as we start talking about male leadership in the church and other stuff like that. We say, well, where does that live other than you go, oh, that was then, this is now. Okay, fine. Whatever's changed. And aren't we knuckleheads? Because with clothes, right? Usually clothes cycle around, right? You say if you keep it long enough, it'll come back. And we go, oh, we don't wear that anymore. It's like, dummy, in 30 years, they will. Well, I won't be here. I'm here now. I'm going to wear this. Do you think that we do that with ideas? We cycle these ideas. Is there anything that's, here's the word, transcendent? If we haven't been handled, but I'm saying that in a meaning, all those, here, John 3, all those, men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. All those who are the truth come to the light so that their deeds may be seen as having been wrought, originated, founded in God. If you spend all your time getting a lawyer, that's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. I would never judge you like that. I can't believe you judge me. You're not able to do the works of righteousness. Continue. If you remember, it's what Jesus did, right? He needed to have a better PR campaign, right? His miracles weren't enough, right? His teaching, right? Never did we hear a person speak like this. And then we're going to hear it in this morning's passage. The crowds came. Why'd they come? To see the Lazarus whom he raised from the dead, okay? They came. He's got them. He's got his 3,000, right? So what we're looking for, and so here's where I'm going to go with this, all right? Get done last night. We got home early last night. I got home by 7:30 last night. All right, we're doing better, and that was still we're getting there. Okay, and people helped. People stayed longer. We did well. You know what? It's tough to do the jobs here. It's tougher to prepare for the jobs. All right, The better we get as a church, the more you won't show up and just say, what do I do? That's part of it. That's the other part is looking ahead and going, whoa, is there? I see a bunch of things. Let me see. Hey, could I do this? I'm not trying. If you have other people playing for that, that's fine. But, hey, can I gather the resources for that? See, that's taking ownership of it, and we slowly work our way to it. But here's where I was going to go. Get home last night. All right, I've been seeing this video come for a long time. I took a lot of work last week to set up that 2 Corinthians about seeing Christ through the giving. I just skipped 3-4 questions up there because I decided, all right, we covered it enough in our discussion. But I got rid of a couple hours of preparation and work there. So I look at this the last couple weeks and said, we're going to talk about baptism and the Lord's Supper. Well, you know what that means? Well, you're saying John David's never going to finish this thing. I'm saying we don't have a foundation for baptism and the Lord's Supper. My first thoughts were to go and grab all my books at home, study them, and teach that. All right? My second thoughts were, no, that you guys are going to feel that coming and have a big but up there for everything. Whatever you say, you're going to say but. What we need to do is first to feel the weight of these issues. See, most of us, I don't think, with the question that's going to come up now is what do you normally see as the baptism and the Lord's Supper? Where did they fit? We're trying to direct your attention somewhere else, and then go ahead, you study. And I just picked this up because there's whole series like this saying, I don't have time to read a big book. Start. Just realize when you read a little book, then you're going to get a bunch of conclusions. Not somebody to walk you through. So you start reading this, and you go, huh, they're saying that? Our church has that? Do we believe that? I don't believe that. I don't know. All right. Then see, you just keep going bigger and bigger. And you go, well, just because you give a book doesn't mean it's right. That's right. But that's why you need to be tied to relationship with God and slowly in your studying consider these things that we haven't even considered. First, we've been working on what happens if everybody thinks they're saved, but they're not. How do you fix that problem? We're going to come back to that. Does anybody else have a general thought, or, you know, you probably forgot what the video said by now, but does anybody else have a general thought from that? So his is, what about being too critical? And that is the result, because you know, I heard in seminary, it's easier to go to consistent extreme than to stay at the center of biblical tension. So not only are we going to get more immorality in the church, we're going to get more self-righteousness in the church. All right? They're both ditches. Go ahead. What else did you hear? Jim.
There is, have you counted the cost? Churches are lowering the bar.
Okay.
How do you ask if they're talking about baptism as young children? How do you ask a child what is their object of faith? That question comes to the forefront of my mind. What is the object of your faith if you want to be baptized or be part of the Lord's Supper? What churches are trying to do is increase numbers, but it's just
the object.
The phrase in there was a seedbeds of hypocrisy.
Must.
In our beliefism.
Right. And see, you know, when we talk about being too critical, see, you want to get a good conversation going with Christians, say, wow, the church these days. You just say that, and you'll get a lot of, yeah, I know what you mean. But God is over it all, and he'll be triumphant someday. Yeah, someday. Come on, come with me to church. Where do you go to church? What do they do? How long is it? What do they wear? See, you just keep going. Oh, they have the drums, right? Oh, they only meet. See, and you go, well, I don't know what those things mean. Something, all right? You know? And then you go, well, what do they believe on this and this and this? And after a while, see, that why do we not want to put things too much on our website? Because I don't want somebody sitting in their night clothes making determinations when they haven't even interacted with people. In the old days, you used to have to come in and at least see a service. Do you realize that when somebody walks in here for the first time, they don't know who's been here for 20 years, who agrees with what, They just look at all of you as being part of it. Do you know what I groan about when I sit up here and I'm still playing the last song and some of you are out of here faster than a Catholic mass and other ones stay quick, okay? You know what I groan about is that the new one talks to the new one. And I thought, okay, good, hooray, they're talking to each other. But we got one shot at those people, and what were you going to care for? Not, let's get them here, there's the numbers, let's get them here. But who are these people? Where are they? And where should we start? And if you go, I don't know, and then you go, people in here are a little cold. People are a little selfish. You know what I'm going to say? Well, back at you. If you're tied to Christ, he said, I will build my church. You go, yeah, but not this one. Which one? It's becoming a common refrain for everybody to go, yeah, not this one. Okay? Somewhere, what he's asking, see, this is tied up. Who should be baptized? You go, not the little kid. Not the little kid, unless you come to me as a child. See, you go, we go back and forth. But finally, we're saying, at whatever you boil this down to, what are the signs of true, genuine, raw faith? It's not developed. The disciples were messed up. The churches were messed up. But in a drunken way, it is something, you know, where we will, it's our 2 Peter verse, right? Welcomed into the eternal kingdom. All right? Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to die and find you are generously welcome? That's what 2 Peter 1:10 or 11. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In this way. See, that's why we're making a big deal about 2 Peter 1. And if you throw out all the process of 2 Peter 1, you're not going to get to the product of 2 Peter 1. All right? That's what we're arguing, okay? So what's the object of faith? Yeah, go ahead, Pastor.
I'm just going to share two terms. Authenticity and concern that we're hearing.
Yeah.
Genuine salvation. And the other is giving false assurance.
Okay.
False assurance.
Okay.
Because someone said I'm saved because whatever.
Okay. Authenticity versus false assurance. Okay? Okay? Yeah, good luck, Dan. We got Dave, Dacia. Is that, no, not Brian. All right, Dave and Dacia. Yeah, watch. I'm used to the auctioneers. You know, you just touch your nose and I go, yeah, that's you. Okay.
This kind of makes me think. Well, yeah, as you know, I think through the lens of sports a lot, and it makes me think about
through the lens of sport.
Sport.
Yeah, go ahead. All right,
combat sports specifically, but it makes me think of something I heard. I heard that Pastor, when watching certain basketball games, says that ain't basketball.
There you go.
And
there you go.
And it makes me think like that's going to offend somebody.
Yeah.
But it's still the truth.
Yeah.
And I think the same way. Like for me, if I'm watching like an MMA fight,
mm-hmm.
Somebody who doesn't know wrestling, they can watch that. And they go like, oh, my gosh, this guy's takedown defense is amazing. The other guy tried to take him down 5 times in that round, and he defended it every time. But if they don't know wrestling, then what they don't know that what they're actually seeing is sloppy takedown attempts that are not effective. Mm-hmm. So it's really making the other guy look good, but the reality is that the guy who's trying to take him down doesn't know what he's doing and is ineffective. And therefore, it's like that ain't wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You think it is, but it's not. And and it's sort of the same. How come we can say that and offend people, some people, but if you say that ain't Christianity,
right?
That ain't Christian living,
right.
That ain't in line with the teachings of Jesus or mm-hmm. the message of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
like we're not allowed to say that, and that's not good.
Right, and that's the point, that eventually as we move our way back to this, you know, what Stan goes, the elephant in the room. See, all right, thank God for any marriages in here that have survived. Thank God for any second marriages that God has mercifully allowed to keep going. Thank God, all right? Do you realize if marriage is up to us, then we determine when we're done, right? If there's something higher than that, all right, a lot of pain goes on in the marriages, but a lot of life goes on in the marriages. Relationships include both, all right? The head of the church didn't promise us some of the things we think it promised. He promised us himself. He promised the resources to deal with what comes up. He didn't promise that we're going to get it right every time, that you're going to choose the right side. He promised that his presence, his spirit, and that one day this will all be over. So you're faithful here as you live for there. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So what does it say about marriage? See, yes, there is a time to leave a church. Are the leaders messed up? Are the denominations messed up? See, that's why somebody's like, well, what about Methodism? What about the United Church of Christ? Yeah, whatever they used to believe, most of them are filled with rank liberalism and unregenerate people. See, but somewhere in there is the vestiges of what authentic Methodism was, all right? Whether it was right or wrong, authentic Methodism. I just heard the United Church of Christ has origins in the Congregational Church. I didn't realize that, okay? Well, that I understand because that was up in New England all over the place. But having to follow its roots a little further, well, that goes beyond. That's why I've said nobody's talking about modern church history, the last 100 years. Everybody's just talking about the last 100 years. Remember I told you I didn't know about Mennonite before I moved to this area? Then I get to know Mennonites, and I told you I'm sick and tired of people coming here for tourists and saying it's amazing, then moving in here and going, those Mennonites are cliquish, those Mennonites. Stop making wisecracks, all right? We came into their turf. Study them a little better than that. I go to a missions meeting that some Mennonite brought me. Remember I said it's Shady Maple? I've never seen such a bunch of people that all look the same. I looked around and said, they're all Mennonites. They go, no. They're in this group. I go, well, no, okay, just what about that group? Teach me that group. Well, I used to be part of that group, but now I'm not part of that group, and we're part of this group over here. And then you go talk to this one. They go, no, we're not part of that group. I thought, oh, well, y'all look the same to me. Y'all sound about the same to me, so I think you're all Mennonite. All right? And they were quickly carving out their niche. All right? So then that was our question since we moved here. What is authentic Mennonite? I guess that's a good question. See, now we got to say, what is authentic Christianity? Now, you be careful, because if nobody agrees on the answer, where does that leave us all? Tell me, if nobody agrees on the answer, if you have a hard time, you got further with this one than with that one. You got further with this one than with that one. But if nobody agrees on authentic Christianity, then what? Anybody have this? Pastor?
Aloneness, uncertainty.
All right. Aloneness, uncertainty. What else can you add? Olga? You're going to grow. Right? That's why they have that. What is that, a book? A Tree Grows in Brooklyn? Yeah. You're like, tree? Nothing green. It's a concrete jungle. Right? He goes, no. See? He's going to push back. Say, we had grass. Yes, it was a postage stamp right in front of your house. Grass. Right? Yeah, chickens next door. Yeah, we had a farm right in the city. We had a farm. Yes, one chicken. Don't move, chicken. There's your little spot. Right? Lots of chickens. See? What happens? It's not going to flourish. Right? It's not going to flourish. It's not going to go out. You go, yeah, right? Pass by some beautiful mountains in this area and go with Jody Wenger somewhere. And she'll go, that's not a mountain. Right? It's like, that's a mountain. We're not giants, so we can't step on that. That's a mountain. All right? That's not a mountain. All right? We're back to what he's saying. All right? So not only are you going to be alone, but you're not going to grow. It's not going to flourish. Things grow. Look at the Ukraine. They're saying they're trying to put fields. They're going to plant now, but they said they have to demine all the fields. I mean, that's not a video game to watch the guy go out with his tractor and go boom, and you go, what happened? Oh, he hit a mine. I mean, it's like, oh, he lost his tractor. Oh, he lost his life. Well, put another tractor out there and let's get this field done. Boom. It's not funny. You can't grow. You can't flourish. Isn't that what's happening to following Christ? Eventually, as we work our way toward this, we're going to say, I need to figure out. Well, all right, here. I got a bunch of you that aren't going to remember anything you were going to say. Daisha, do you remember anything?
I guess it's kind of obvious, but...
No, say it.
When Christianity becomes, like, super easy, the default is a weak ecclesiology. and when we have a weak ecclesiology, I think the quickest thing that we think about baptism is that it's an expression of like commitment or devotion or something like that. And I think there might be something of that, but there's something a lot more powerful about the gospel and about the church that is involved there beyond just, I'm being a good Christian or whatever.
Did you hear what she said? All right. We lost somebody years ago for there's a pile of reasons. But among them, he says, why are they always talking about the structure in this church? And Tim went to that person after and said, maybe because that's the one part you're not getting. The structure. Who is part of the church? Who is part of the church? Which is why all the verses that I was given in my big class or in my youth group when my dad led that, those are fine. They worked for me because there was a baseline for the sport. There was a baseline that we agreed on. Therefore, you say, and what's that baseline? Well, then if somebody could show me that the Bible says it, I wasn't lost in that. Well, there's probably a million interpretations. I wasn't lost in that. I wasn't lost in the pastor's probably wrong. He goes, he was your dad. Come on. You know how many people don't follow somebody because their dad's the pastor? Okay? People generally used to trust the preacher. They used to. And you go, but now you can't. You're right. Because it's now a weak ecclesiology. You're not just going to have weak in the pews. You're going to have weak in the pulpit. The whole system is going to be weak. But what is an ecclesiology? The study of the church. What is the church? Now be careful. And that's why when we worked with youth group, I realized I can't just give them the version of what we have in here. This we, you know what? Everybody talks more about the people that leave than the people that stay. And you find out in the other churches, people are leaving. They just didn't make a big deal out of it. They're leaving all of them. Go find out. And you know what you're going to hear? In the old days, pastors, if you disappeared on Sunday, pastors would talk to each other on Monday. Because the pastors were tighter, the churches were tighter, and together. See, if your kid comes to my house and says, can I sleep here? My parents are ogres. What do you want me to do? No, you send them back. We're not an ogre. You're an ogre, right? See, that's what happens. I'll say, look, maybe it's 2 a.m. You can stay here, but we're going to talk to your parents in the morning, okay? And I don't care what you think I'm the better dad. Well, that's flattering. But, all right, you need to deal with your own daddy. You need to deal with your own mommy, okay? That's what used to happen with the churches, okay? Now we started getting, for the last 20 years, they're not your sheep, they're God's sheep. We're sorry if they've hurt you. They've been hurt as well. That won't happen in our church. So we'll pray the Lord blesses you with other people. But do you see what happens if there's everybody's a revolving door? Not only lonely, not only you won't grow, you become your own determiner of reality. You carry with you the reality of what is an authentic Christian. There's nothing beyond you. Therefore, the youth group's working on this. You can help me with this. The church is a group of people created and loved by God, tied by their relationship to God, originated by God, but accepted individually for the purpose of exhibiting the glory of God to mankind through faithful and joyful service. There. That gets way before we're even going to argue about how, when, and where we baptize. How many services we have, okay? What we wear, what kind of music we sing, okay? There's something that's larger than us that will help us to be able to be secure in the environments where we are. All right, next week, it's Easter. Means you got up early for sunrise and means you're tired. We're going to play that video one more time. You're going to say what your thoughts were. You're going to look at it again. And then the questions that are collecting, like the one Stan brought up, we're going to answer some of those without me doing homework. You're going to tell me where baptism and the Lord's Supper are rooted. Look for that. You don't all have time to study, but go think about it. What verses would you go to even find out what those things mean and include? Lord Jesus, would you help us? There are so many rabbit trails involved in this. You know where we should be focusing. You know where I should be focusing. Lord, would you give us grace to look to you enough to recognize, well, the answer may be with us, and it may be with some people around us. Father, if we're not careful, we're so busy telling everybody else they're wrong that we're not going to change ourselves. Help us to admit our fear of man, our lack of knowing what to do, the pain of the confusion of not having the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And help us to realize that even in the mess of hypocrisy back then, that the church, that the life that came from you continued to flourish. As you humble us and show us in different areas where we're out of line, would you bind our wandering hearts to you? Show us the goodness of your promises to us. Show us the trustworthiness of your word. Help us inside of history to know how to handle the eternal. And thank you for where you are working and for the power of your spirit to be able to bring us all the way home. And we come in Jesus' name.